It's not an easy road, but we've got the Savior with us. Amen. And it rains on the just and the unjust. Job said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" But God's with us. Amen. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Well, allow me, if I could, to just kind of do a final review of our six-week series on balancing the Christian life. We started out with our first message and entitled "The Key to Balance." And the key to balance is this in the Christian life. The key to balance, it's really not that hard. Living your life for the purpose which you were created. What is that purpose, Pastor? To bring glory to God. God wants you to bring Him glory in a variety of ways we talked about, but that is it. Amen. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give the Lord the glory due His name." Amen. So the key to balance. Then we looked at the importance of a proper appraisal. And we talked about how if we're going to make a big purchase in our life, or we're going to do something that's going to cost us quite a bit of money, it's important to get an appraisal. If you're going to buy a piece of land, it's important to get it looked at. Amen. If you're going to buy that prospective wife a ring, it's important to get the diamond looked at. And simply put, the message is, if we could bring it all down into a crux, is a proper appraisal is valuing what God values. Placing a premium on what God places a premium upon. And the Bible says this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. And so, not laying up treasures here on earth. Everything on this earth is going to burn one day. But that which we do for God, when we value what He values, and that's souls, ladies and gentlemen, that lives forever. Number three, we looked at prioritizing by principle. Getting our priorities in life from the Word of God. And we talked about, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to learn the Scriptures and we're going to have to live by a schedule. Our fourth message was entitled "Principles to Live By." Principles to live by in our walk with God. What are some principles to live by? Well, we talked about reading and studying the Word of God. We talked about praying. We talked about being faithful to church and serving and witnessing. Amen. Those are principles that we need to prioritize in our life to make time for with our walk with God. Then we also talked about principles for our family. Husbands leading in love, and wives submitting and reverencing their husband. And children are to be trained, and they're to be nurtured, and they're to be corrected, and they're to be instructed, and we're to make time for our families. Amen. It's so important. So important. We can turn off the television, amen, and spend time as a family. It's still okay to do that, amen. Number three, we looked at principles to live by concerning our work. Work is ordained by God. God had Adam working before the fall. He did, amen. But then after the fall, He said, "In the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth bread." So work is ordained by God. Listen, young people, listen. Work is ordered by God. If a man provide not for his own house, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. Now listen, I understand sometimes in this world that both spouses work. My wife and I both worked for years, and that's fine. But I made up my mind, Brother Horse, if she was working, I'd be working. Amen, church. Listen, that's just right. Amen. If she was going to go out there and work, I don't care if it was at Burger King, Brother Don, amen. I don't care if it was at Burger King. I was going to be working. Amen. It was my job to work. It's ordered by God. It's ordained by God. It's supposed to be unto God. Whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord and not to men. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says. Then we looked at some principles to live by for self. We're to take care of ourselves physically. And boy, I know I didn't win any friends and influence people by saying, "Watch your diet." Thank you, amen, for those two amens. And it's okay to eat salads. And Mrs. Lawley, it's okay to drink those green shakes, amen. Praise God. Take care of your body. It's the one God gave you, amen. We talked about what God said about gluttony. We're to take care of ourselves physically. Do some exercise, amen. We talked about caring for ourselves mentally. Mentally, how important it is that we put good things in. reason why a lot of people are mentally tormented is they're putting garbage in there. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's convicting them. We talked about emotionally, not to let your emotions rule you. Use the Spirit of God and the Word of God to keep your emotions in check. Brother Hiles made one of the greatest statements I've ever heard. He said, "Don't tell people what you think when you first think it." Because you know what that is? It's an emotional response. I just got to tell them how I feel. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen, church? Can keep your emotions in check. And then we talked about taking care of ourselves spiritually. Again, good food. Amen. Getting good food. So that was our fourth message. And then our fifth message last week, we called it Making Principled Choices. And we looked at some different characters that made choices. Some were principled and some were not. We looked at Abraham, who chose to believe God. Amen. The Bible says, God said, go, and he went. He believed God. Then we looked at Lot, who lived by sight. We looked at Moses, who chose to forsake the pleasures of this world. We looked at Joshua, who chose to serve the Lord with his family. We looked at Samson, who chose to live for the flesh. We looked at David, who chose to stand against evil. We looked at Jehoshaphat, who chose to yoke up with evil, with evil King Ahab. We looked at Isaiah, who chose to be available for God. Hear my Lord, send me. We looked at, praise God, the prodigal, who chose to come home from the hog pen. Repenting, amen. We looked at Demas, who chose the world over God. And then we talked about just a few practical areas. We talked about making a schedule based on God's principles. We talked about doing things that we don't like to do. Oh, this is so much fun now. My wife is such a blessing to our children. By the way, fellas, if you've got a wife that could cook, say amen tonight. Amen. I praise God I do. Amen. I'm pushing away from the table. I'm taking my own preaching. Amen. But I've got a wife that's a wonderful cook. And we're introducing some wonderful foods to our children right now. Vegetables. And they're not that thrilled about it. Amen. I love the look. I got to do videos, Pastor Donald. I love the looks on their faces. They put them in. And then I see Eric, poor Eric, bless his heart back there. He has a gag reflex. He just does. Amen. So he puts it in. He goes, amen. Just beautiful to watch. Amen. When you think about that, hey, listen, we can't just eat the things that taste good. Listen to me. It's the same thing in making principled choices. We have to do things sometimes that we don't like doing. Hey, young people, your mom or your dad, they go to work. They don't always like going to work. They go because they have character. Because they need to do things that they don't necessarily like doing. Think about it, okay? So we talked about making a schedule, doing things that we don't like doing. When we decide to make principled choices, we have to expect our flesh to rebel. The flesh is not going to like it when you start living by the principles of this book. Because when you live by the principles of this book, it is going to put the flesh in its place, which is under your heel. Amen? The flesh won't like it. I think about this. We will be rewarded with peace due to our obedience. Some of you have been in a storm. Storm all around you. Maybe it's relatives just at you or co-workers at you and just neighbors maybe just at you. And I'll tell you what, you had the peace knowing that you were doing what God wanted you to do. And you could sleep well. That's the peace God rewards with obedience. Where you have obedience, He rewards with peace. Look at our text, if we could. Our last message in this series is entitled, Building a Balanced Family. And let me just say this by way of introduction. Building a balanced family is the result of work and effort and obedience to the Word of God. It does not happen by chance. If you're going to build a balanced family, you're going to have to do it on purpose. Amen? That's why we talked about making making a schedule, doing things. Balance, by the way, get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Balance is not a destination. It is a constant work. Have you heard the illustration? If you're riding a bike, you're either going forward or backwards. What happens if you stand still? You tip over, amen? And that's the way balance is in the Christian life. And by the way, the best way to stay balanced is just keep going forward for God. Just keep on going forward. In our text in Titus chapter 1 or chapter 2, it talks about here, and it's helping us toward maturity. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in desperate need of Christian maturity in our day and age. Amen. I don't mean so much in our church. We have many mature Christians, people that read their Bible every day and pray and seek to witness and raise their children for God. But I'm talking about in society in general, we're in dire need of people that are mature. People that, Brother Horst, praise God, I appreciate it. I was just sharing something with him this morning, and he said, Pastor, a verse just popped to mind. Psalm 119, 165. And I quoted it to him. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's maturity, amen? That's maturity. And here, Titus is being instructed by the Apostle Paul as a young pastor here to have maturity and to teach maturity and to build maturity. And he tells him how. In verse 1, he says there, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. By the way, this is where we get sound doctrine from. This book. And by the way, sound doctrine, good teaching. That's what it means. Things that we could base our lives around here. Then in verse 2, he talks about that the aged men, the mature men, be sober. And that word sober means aware of life. Aware. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a big proponent of not watching too much news. Because only bad news sells. And only bad news hooks people in for a half an hour or an hour or however long to watch the news. But I will tell you this, you can't just bury your head in the sand. You need to know what's going on around you, amen? So it talks about they're sober. The word grave there means honorable. Oh, for honorable Christian men. Thank you, older men here at this church that can teach us younger men honor. What it is to be honorable. Thank you for that. Then it says, grave, sober, grave, temperate. Temperate. What does that word temperate mean? It means having self-control. Having self-control. And ladies and gentlemen, we're to have self-control. We're to be temperate. I will say this, in our thinking. We're to control our minds with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. We're to have self-control in our seeing. Job said this in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Listen, I know today people are wearing less clothes than they have ever worn. It's up to us to have self-control over where our eyes go. And all God's people said, self-control in our thinking, our seeing, our hearing, what we allow to come in these ears, having self-control. What we do, our doing. Verse 3, it goes from the aged men to the aged women. By the way, it also says about the aged men, they're to be sound in the faith, in charity, love, in patience. Hey, remember this, sweet senior men. You didn't get to where you were without some help. So help somebody along. Amen? You'll help them to get where you are. Then it moves to the aged women in verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness. And then it says, not false accusers. Boy, that's so important, folks. I've learned in years of ministry that when you don't know the whole story, it's best not to make up your mind. Well, I'll tell you, you can get into this habit of becoming a false accuser. It says, don't do that, older ladies. And then it says, not given to much wine. And by the way, much has been made of this phrase here. It says, oh, not given to much wine. I'll tell you this, the principles laid out in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, where it talks about all things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. The principles laid out in Romans 14, 21, where if meat or drink make my brother to offend, I'll eat no meat and I'll drink no drink, would definitely take a position toward abstention from alcohol. Amen. Total abstention. Much better. Says there in verse 3 at the end there, it says, teachers of good things. You know, when I think of my children, I'm glad they sit under my wife. Brother Ken, I'm sure you're glad your children sit under your wife. Brother Jeff, your wife raised your kids. Mrs. B, you raised your... You know why? Because, ladies, you're to be teachers of good things. And I know you are. By the way, if you want a laundry list, there's a good one in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Think on these things. Teachers of good things. I listen to my wife each night reading stories to my boys, and I'm thankful that she's a teacher of good things. It goes on to say in verse number 4, it tells us why. Why are they to be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That word discreet means safe in mind. Chaste. Chaste means clean, innocent, and modest. And listen, ladies, let me just say this. Older ladies, take that upon yourself. By the way, not to go and correct somebody, but to teach them. Teach them why. What is Christian modesty? What is it to dress in such a way so as not to bring too much attention to your appearance, but glory to God? Elder women, the aged women, teach the young women. And then it says, young men likewise, verse 6, exhort to be sober-minded, aware of life. And then the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, in all things showing thy, or says to Titus, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. How important that is for a pastor. Sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. He that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. You know, at work, when you're at work, fellas, and they're all around you cussing, and here you are, you don't let it bother you. You just keep speaking that which Christ would have you to say. I'll tell you this, they can't condemn you. They can't condemn you for that. Amen. Same thing with you ladies. I know some of you ladies have to endure torrents at work of things like that. A terrible thing. It says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. Not purloining, but showing good fidelity. Faithfulness. And I love this phrase at the end of verse 10. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That word adorn, it's a beautiful word. The Greek word is the word kosmeo. It's the word we get our term cosmetics from. And ladies, if you put the blush on or you put the eyeshadow on or whatever you put on, it means to beautify. And it says here, if we'll do these things, that will beautify the doctrine of God. We'll make God beautiful to a lost world. Let me give you some practicality out of this text on building a balanced family. I'm going to give you, let's see, 7 things tonight. Quick, I'm just going to throw them at you. But I promise you, if you will incorporate this into your family life, it will help you have a balanced family. Number one, get your family in a spiritual routine. I don't mean routine as in rut. I mean a routine as in saying, this is an important part of our life. Now, let me just give you, develop some spiritual habits. Develop some spiritual habits. A few things, just quick things. Go to church every time the doors are open that you're able to. That is a spiritual habit that will pay dividends down the road. I've never known anybody that said, you know what, I went to church four times a week and I'm just the worst for it. If you're the worst for it, it's not God's fault, amen? And so develop that. Say, I am going to be in church when the doors are open. Again, the command is Hebrews 10:25. It's not a negotiation, amen? It's not a suggestion. It says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So go to church. Develop that habit. How about this? Pray before you all eat together. Let me say that again. See if you catch it. Pray before you all eat together. All eat together. I know some of you have crazy schedules. I think of Brother Ken, how sometimes you're on nights and sometimes you're gone and sometimes you're... But they make time to pray and eat together. I know they'll always do that. I know you do that. Listen to me. More time at the family dinner table and less time in front of the television. Amen. Amen? Oh, it's so important. Pray. By the way, you can teach your kids a lot in prayer. Brother Hendershot, I've mentioned this so many times. I hope it doesn't get boring to you. We teach our kids to be grateful because of what you folks give to us. I'm not ashamed of that. You folks are wonderful to us. I tell everybody, you can ask anybody I talk to when I talk about our church. I talk about how wonderful you folks are, how generous you are to us. And when we sit down and we pray over our dinner, we say, thank you, dear God, for providing this food. Thank you for our church that provides it for us. We're teaching our kids to be grateful through prayer. We say, thank you for mommy for making it. We do that. Why? That's a great spiritual habit to get into. That's to help you build a balanced family. So go to church whenever you can. Pray before you all eat together. Boy, here's another one, and a good one. Have family devotions. Have family devotions. We've got, I remember before we had children, my wife and I, and when I first got saved, my wife had been saved since she was 8. So she had already about 14 years on me of salvation experience, Brother Jim. And I remember thinking, what on earth am I going to possibly teach her? I just learned that John 3:16 was in the Bible. You know, she had the entire New Testament highlighted, amen. I thought it was hilarious. She used to have this old gift award Bible, and it had all the words of Christ in red, and they were all highlighted. I said, honey, you don't have to highlight those. They already put them in red for you. Amen? I said, what am I going to teach her? And we got the book, Bread for Each Day, by M.R. DeHaan, 1966 edition. And if you know anything about the old Our Daily Breads, they always had a scripture for you to read, a key scripture, a story that illustrated a spiritual truth, and then usually a little poem down at the bottom or a quote. We began to read those together. And I'll tell you what, folks, what a blessing. You have children. Well, it's wonderful to take what's been taught on Sunday and talk about it on Sunday afternoon. Over the table. Have family devotions. I've said so many times, family devotions does not have to be long and boring. You don't have to read the entire genealogies of the Chronicles in your family devotions. Amen. As your kids are going. And as your wife is going. Amen. No. Just take a truth. Take a Bible story. Teach it to your kids. Teach them that spiritual truth. I'll tell you what. You want to have a balanced family? Get your family in a spiritual routine. Get to church. Pray before you all eat together. Have family devotions. Number two, get your family to have some traditions. Now, I'm not talking about taking the place of the Word of God. No, sir. I'm talking about just having a balanced family, having some things that you do together as a family. I think about different families I've known and different families in our church. Hey, listen, have a fun day together. You don't have to just have one a year either.
This is our tradition. We only have one fun day a year. The rest of the year we fast and pray. That's all we do. Amen.
No, listen, I'll tell you what. In October, we're going, I think this is the fourth year, Kara? It must be. We're going to Clackle's Apple Orchard up in Greenville. We go there. That's a tradition of ours. Our family, we do that. For 4 years, we've been going to the Christmas at the Crossroads. We included the whole church in it last year, amen. Come be part of our tradition, amen. But it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a place where you go on vacation. I think of our church-wide campout. What a wonderful tradition that is. Have some traditions. I'll give you one. On Christmas Eve, we sit home. I make popcorn. And we watch The White Christmas. Now, if you're mad at that, if you're mad at Bing Crosby, you must be a communist. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm just kidding. Hey, what I'm trying to say is we have some traditions. By the way, I understand as kids get to be 12, traditions are about as cool as a 98-degree day. I understand that. Amen. But I'll tell you what, still good. Marissa, I think of your folks going up to the campground every year on Cape Cod. And as a young lady, as a young mom, aren't you glad for those days? Now, she wasn't back then when she was going on the campground, amen. She had to be with her brothers all week long and away from her friends and all. But listen, as a family, have some traditions. Traditions are where memories are made. Your kids will come back to you in their 20s and in their 30s and say, boy, I miss going to so-and-so. That was so great. Building a balanced family. We're not just talking about building a spiritual family, though that's important. We're talking about building a balanced family. So get your family in a spiritual routine. Get your family to have some traditions. Oh, this is so important. Get your family to connect to past generations. Spend time, i.e. make time, to get around grandparents. By the way, if you don't have any grandparents, we've got some right here for you. Amen. That it would do you well, young people, to get around some of these sweet senior saints. And tell me what it was like growing up for you. And you know how kids are. They're going to ask you, you sweet white-haired saints are going to say, did you ride a dinosaur to school? Amen. They're going to say, were you in the Civil War or World War I? Amen. Listen, you know what happens if we don't connect to past generations? All their wisdom is lost. All the wonderful lessons that they could teach to us all gets lost. You got a young family? I'll tell you what. It'd do you well if you're able to take a Saturday afternoon and take your young family and go visit with Herb and Maxine. Go visit with Morris and Noel. Go visit with Max and June. Go visit with Ruth Marie. Go visit with, and I don't want to get myself in trouble if I start calling some of you senior saints. Amen. I'll just stop right there. Amen. Go visit with Bill and Carol. Amen. Go visit with Mr. and Mrs. Perry. You'll be blessed for it. It'll help you. I'll tell you what, when young people today learn about how things were when you were young, they get a lot more grateful. And all God's people said, amen. Get your family to connect to past generations. Spend time with grandma and grandpa and senior saints. Number four, get your family to work together. Boy, that went over like a screen door on a submarine. Amen. Let's try that again. Get your family to work together. The average household has enough work to keep an entire family busy all week long. And all God's mom said? Boy, that's what you call begging for an amen right there. I knew I could get one, amen. Oh, listen, by the way, there's much work to be done around the average house. And you know what? And listen, I'm guilty of this. Pastor Donald and I have talked about this sometimes. You know, you come in from a day and listen, you know, my wife has two crazy, crazy occupants of the house. And then there's my mom and my children. The crazy ones are my mom's dogs, amen, that make such a mess and all that. And sometimes I come in and I huff and puff and start blowing the house down. But you know what we're supposed to do? Just work joyfully together. Hey, let's clean up this room together. Let's get together on this one. Let's clean up this part. Let's do this together. Let's clean up the yard. Let's do this. Let's do it together. Teaching. We're teaching. We're teaching. Amen. Teaching to work. Get your family to work together. Oh, let me give you a big one. Number 5. Get your family to serve the Lord in your local church together. Think about Operation Saturation. What an opportunity, moms and dads, to teach your kids the importance of bringing the gospel to strangers. To bringing the gospel across the world. Amen. To just say, you know what, go to a door, praise God. Thursday night, it was me and Tom Gilbert and Tyler and Eric. And we went, we did a couple of streets together, and then we went to Frosty Boy afterwards. And if you were there, we'd have bought you Frosty Boy. So try to get more people to come out on Thursday night. You know what? I want my boy to understand the importance of the gospel. I want to build a balanced family. I want to understand that mommy and daddy think the gospel is important. Yeah. Amen? Building a balanced family. Getting your family to serve the Lord together in a local church. Oh, let me give you one of my pet peeves, and it's an important one. And you can ask my wife and you can ask my mom. This one's important. Get your family to say, I love you often. I know we come from a generation where you weren't supposed to say that. I don't recall my dad saying it very much. I knew he did. His actions spoke louder than his words. Amen. But especially at the way my boys are, right? I appreciated Lukey this morning. We're on the way home, and I was talking to Carrie, and he said, in that little high-pitched voice that he has, "I love you, Daddy." And I was talking to Carrie, and he said, he piped up and said, "Daddy, I said I love you." I said, "Get out of here. Leave me alone." I said, "I love you too, buddy. Love you too." Boy, I'll tell you what. The world's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Our kids need to know they're loved. They need to hear it. They need to hear it often. Because Satan's going to tell them, nobody loves you. People commit suicide because they believe that nobody cares and nobody loves them. And you sow that seed. And by the way, that's not the reason everybody commits suicide. Some people just distraught and they get without hope. But I'll tell you, a big reason is Satan convinces them nobody loves them. You sow that seed in your kids. Develop those balanced children. Say, I love you often. And boy, this is so important. Number 7, get your family to develop gratitude. Get your family to develop gratitude. Let me go back just a couple chapters there. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Number 1, get your family in a spiritual routine. Number 2, get your family to have some traditions. Number 3, get your family to connect with past generations. Number 4, get your family to work together. Number 5, get your family to serve the Lord in the local church. Number 6, get your family to say, I love you often. Number 7, get your family to develop gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I had an incident in my life this week that was a difficult incident. Nobody in this church, nothing having to do with anybody in this church. Just a difficult incident. And it was hard to take. And some of you have had a lot worse. And I said, I'm no martyr or anything like that. It was just hard. It was just a hard thing. And it was a matter of being generous to a person and them just basically forsaking the generosity, not being grateful for it. And the Lord smote my heart in devotions this morning as I was sitting at the desk that you folks provide for me, reading my Bible. And the Lord smote my heart and said, now you have just a tiny glimpse of how I feel. I've saved people. I've rescued them from a life of sin. I've put families together. I put families back together. And on and on and on. And yet, they're not thankful to me. I thought about it and I asked the Lord to forgive me for just having a bad attitude. Folks, if there's one thing, there's three things I won't tolerate out of my boys: lying, stealing, and ingratitude. I think all three are connected. Kind of like the hydra of sin. Folks, we need to develop gratitude in our children. It's important that they know mom worked hard to cook that meal. It's important, moms, that they know dad works hard all day and comes home. Maybe he's a little tired. Maybe every once in a while he's a little short. It's important that they know that not everybody has a mom and a dad. It's important that they know not everybody has a home. Brother Becker and I were talking this morning. Isn't it amazing, Brother Jeff, we were talking about that, how the Lord put your Sunday school lesson and that message this morning together. And even just things we were talking about this morning. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, every person in a local church ought to take a foreign missions trip once in their life just to develop gratitude. Just to develop gratitude.
That's right.
We've been blessed with so much. And it's important that we develop that in our children, being grateful. We had lunch with some dear senior saints this week, and they were so kind to our children. And we don't just let folks be kind to our children without our children saying, thank you. Say thank you. Go give them a kiss. Tell them you appreciate that little gift. Why? Because I'll tell you what, it's part of building a balanced family. You want to build a balanced family? Get your family in a spiritual routine. Go to church as often as you can, and all God's people said. Pray before you eat together. Have family devotions. Number two, get your family to have some traditions. Have fall traditions. Have corn mazes. Have apple picking. Have sledding. Have some different traditions that you do. Get your family to connect to past generations. Spend some time with our sweet seniors. If you've got a grandpa that's still living or a grandma, spend some time with them. So important. Get your family to work together. Amen. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Get your family to serve the Lord in your local church together. Think of, we have a work day coming up here next month. Boy, bring your family with you. Amen. We're going to serve together. Get your family to say, I love you, often. And lastly, get your family to develop gratitude. Building a balanced family, balancing the Christian life. We love you, Lord.